Take your Bibles and turn with me to Exodus chapter 26. I want to talk to you for a little while tonight about Christ the door. Christ the door. Exodus 26, verse 36. And thou shalt make a hanging for the door of the tent, of blue, purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen, wrought with needlework, that is, embroidery. And thou shalt make for the hanging 5 pillars of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, and their hooks shall be of gold, and thou shalt cast 5 sockets of brass for them. And then, if you will, flip over a few pages to Exodus 36. And let's read a couple verses over there. Exodus 36, beginning with verse 37. And he made a hanging for the tabernacle door of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of needlework, and the 5 pillars of it with their hooks. And he overlaid their chapiters and their fillets with gold, but their 5 sockets were of brass. Now, the tabernacle proper, that is, the tabernacle building itself, is a picture of Christ. The whole building. Just the building. If you were to stand up on the mountain and look down on that tabernacle was a picture, a pattern of Christ. The Word, John said, was made flesh and tabernacled among us. It's a picture of Jesus Christ coming into this world. And as a man, it pictures him as a man, as a representative man, himself in union with our flesh and our spirit, and yet very God, very God. And he's in union with men, and as he came in union into this world, he came to redeem his elect, to reveal to them the one true and living God, and to reign over them, and bring them safely into the presence and blessings of God. Christ is our tabernacle. And Christ is the door. He's the tabernacle, and he's the door. There were 3 hangings mentioned in the Scriptures. And he calls, you remember the ceiling, he called curtains when he put them up. He called those curtains. He calls these doors, these draperies that hung down, he calls them hangings. But they're doors. They're doors. And you remember I told you about that big high linen fence that went all around the courtyard, 400 and some feet around. And it had about a 30-foot opening in it. And over that opening was a hanging that hung there. And you pass through that, and as you pass through that hanging, the first thing you seen when you passed through that door was the sacrifice. That was the brazen altar right there staring you in the face when you went past that into the courtyard. And past that brazen altar, that where all the burnt offerings were slain and cast there upon the fire, just past that was a big old laver, the laver of cleansing. And then the next thing he came to was the hanging that we're talking about tonight, the door of the tabernacle. And then when you passed through that, there was one more door. And that door led into the very presence and Shekinah glory of God. There were 3 hangings. And it's very clear to me that whether we're talking about the way of the altar, or the way of privileged service, That door into the tabernacle was the way of privileged service. Those who've been set apart, sanctified by God, that whole Levitical priesthood alone had the right to go in and out that door. And that was the door of privileged service. The way, and then when you passed through that door, you saw the way into the holiest of all. And I know this is so, and I read it to you a little while ago. I wanted to read a lot of that chapter to you because I'm going to refer to it some tonight. Christ said, "I am the door." Now, whatever these hangings mean and whatever all these little things that make up and the colors, and I'm sure they all have a meaning. But tonight I just want to talk to you about Christ the door. He's the door. He's the door. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Now, that's what I want to know about. That's what I want to know about. I want an entrance through this door that grants me salvation. Salvation. And being saved, he shall go in and out. He can go just like that Levitical priesthood. They came in and they served God within that tabernacle. There was the table of the showbread and the candlelight, and they had all that altar, that golden altar of worship, the altar perfume, all of those things inside, all that glory, all that beauty. They had all that. But they could go in and they could go out. They could go in and they could go out. Well, what is this symbolism of the door all about? Well, let me give you several things to think about tonight. What is a door? What's a door all about? Well, he talks about door. He uses symbols all through the Bible when he talks to them. He just takes common, ordinary things and he uses those things to teach us something about spiritual truth. Well, what's he talking about when he's talking about a door? Well, first of all, a door is one with the house. There's not a house and then a door. There's a house with a door. The door is one with the house. That's what I told you at the beginning. Christ is the tabernacle, but he's also the door. He's the door. He's the hangings. He's the ceiling. He's the altar. He's everything in there. He's one with the house. One with the house. He who is the tabernacle is also the door. What would a house be without a door, or a door without a house? Huh? What benefit would it be to have a Savior with no one to save? A Redeemer with no one to redeem, or a Mediator with just one side. You see, the house and the door go together. Listen to what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. He said, "Ye are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together." That's what I wanted you to see. It's fitly framed together. There's walls. There's roof. There's a foundation, there's a door, it's fitly framed together. We're not apostles, we're not prophets, but we're built upon them. We're part of the house, just the same. "In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." So the first thing I know about a door is that it's one with the house. And then secondly, a door is designed with reason and purpose. Now, I bought some houses where there wasn't much reason went into the door. You couldn't get anything through it. It was too small. You had to take the door off the hinges and take the hinges off just to move furniture in. But somebody said this. When you're talking about this spiritual door, It's fitted by the power and wisdom of him who designed the house. That's what this door. That's why he put the door where he put it. That's why he had it to be a door. And that's why he made it to open. That's why he made it out of the material he designed. It was fitted by the power and wisdom of him who designed the house. This tabernacle had one door. One tabernacle, one door, one direction on the east side. Why did they put it on the east side? Why not put it on the west side? Because the sun don't come up in the west. The sun comes up in the east. And Christ is likened unto that day star that arises in your heart. That's that door. That's that door. Had one door. East receives the first light. And the door of the tabernacle was not left to the builder's imagination. It was designated to a specific place. He didn't say, well, here's what I'm going to do, guys. I'm going to give you, there has to be a door, and there has to be two hangings, and there has to be two sections, and y'all just make up your mind. You put them ever how big you want and wherever you want them. That tabernacle wouldn't have meant anything, would it? You wouldn't have got anything out of it. You just walked in there and went through a bunch of ceremonies and went home. That's what religion does with the gospel of Christ. It takes these things that are designated for certain things and they just move them all around. Just move them all around. The door of the tabernacle was designated to a specific place. There was one door in three places concerning the worship of Israel. One in the courtyard that gave access to the sacrificial offering and the labor of cleansing. And then a door into the tabernacle proper. And this was the door into the privileged service of God. And then there was a door into the holiest of all, which none but the high priest could enter through. It was a door of acceptance and cleansing, a door of service and submission, and a door of communion and fellowship with God. Christ is our door. And then thirdly, a door is necessary to gain lawful entry. I read that to you there where he's talking about the door of the sheepfold. He said he came to the door. He said, if you come in any other way, you're a thief and a robber. When you come honorably to God concerning his sheep, you come to the door. You come to the door. And he said, I call, and the porter answers. And he recognizes me, and my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Now, if you knock on my door, almost without exception, I'll give you entry into my house. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If I see your behind crawling through my window at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're going to get both barrels. You're going to get both barrels. I'm not going to ask you if you're there honorably or not. I've got a door for honorable people. And you knock on my door, I let you in. If you're hungry, I'll feed you. You're naked, I'll clothe you. But you crawl through my window, you're going to get both barrels. And any man with an honorable intention will come to the door. He'll knock on the door and he'll wait for someone to open it. You remember the story of Uzziah the king? He was going to do that which pertaineth to the priest only. And he reached and got hold of the door. He's going to open the door himself. He's going to go in himself. And God smote him with leprosy. Smote him with leprosy. And then fourthly, a door has a twofold purpose. It keeps out as well as lets in. This door gives no access to strangers. He said, I am the door of the sheep. That's what Christ said there in John chapter 10. I am the door of the sheep. Of the sheep. And then he told those Jews, they said, well, he's mad. He's talking out of his head. And then finally they just looked at him and said, away with this nonsense. If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. He said, I told you. I told you. You believe not. You won't come through the door. You won't come to the door. You won't go through the door. You won't knock on the door. Because you're not my sheep. You're not my sheep. Sheep have access into the holy place. Access to the light of the candlestick. Access to the bread. And access to the altar of worship. Listen to this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We have access through the door. Through the door. Paul said in Ephesians 3:12, in Christ we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him or by His faithfulness. And then fifthly, the door's under the command of Him who owns the house. It says He can open and no man can shut. You think about that. He said, I can open the door and nobody can shut it. He opened that door for Noah, didn't he? Now you come in. And there wasn't but one person. That thing was first, second, and third stories high, made out of old rough timber. Can you imagine a door big enough for an elephant to walk in? Well, I tell you, the eight souls in the ark wasn't enough to shut it. It said God shut it. He who owns the house has control of the door. He can open the door and no man can shut it. Satan can't shut it, and false prophets can't shut it, and nobody else can shut it. You can't shut it. But He can shut that door, and no man can open it. No man can open it. You can't do it. You can't do it. And this door is a door of mercy. This door is a door of grace. This door is a door of pardon and redemption and justification. This door is a door of peace and rest. But this door is the door of a sovereign. Don't ever forget that. It's the door of a sovereign. This door operates according to His sovereign will. And this door is under the command of Him who owns the house. And then sixthly, nobody puts a door in a house who don't intend to use it. You put a door in a house, you intend to use it. The whole purpose of the door is to receive men and women into the house. That's why He designated a door. That's why Christ became a man. That's why He came into this world. To give lawful access into the presence of God. We point men and women to Christ, knowing that He'll receive all who come unto God by Him. Listen to these two scriptures. He said, this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing. Everything that the Father gave to Christ, He said, I'll lose nothing. Now, I've heard preachers stand in a pulpit and talk about God doing all He could do. All He could do. You go to hell, it'll be your fault, and on and on and on, talking to them about that. He said, this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, He's not going to lose anything. But He said, I'll raise it up at the last day. All of them. Every last one of them. All God's elect. But, He said, this is the Father's will that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. It's the same thing, ain't it? It's the same thing. The sovereignty of God and His eternal purpose to save a people for His glory is not a closed door. It's not a closed door. Election and predestination do not constitute a closed door. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl who sincerely comes to Christ to find Him to be a closed door. He said, the Spirit and the bride say, come. That's what they say. Come on. They don't say, stay put. They say, come. Come on. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth, everybody that hears the gospel and perceives it, understands it, they say, come on. Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will. Anybody willing? Anybody willing? Whosoever will. Let him take of the water of life freely. Now listen to me. He tells us in that same chapter, in John chapter 6, he said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. If any man's willing to come to Christ, it's because Christ made him willing in the day of his power. Nobody comes unwilling. They're all willing. But they're made willing. If any man finds himself desperate enough to seek the Lord of glory, it's because the Spirit of God has convinced him of sin and gave him the ability to repent and believe. The eternal election of God's saints, it says, is unto salvation. It's unto salvation. Its purpose is to save. It's not to suppress. It's not to hold out. It's to save. It's to save. And it's to save through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And so our Lord says again in John chapter 6, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Christ the door is not what keeps men from salvation. It's their sin and unbelief. The door is made to give entry. Made to give entry. And then think about this. This door is a peculiar door. Men talk about doors all the time. They talk about the door to your heart, and the Lord's knocking on the door and you won't answer it and all that foolishness. This is a peculiar door. This door gives passage into all the blessed privileges of God. Through this door, we discover the very glory of God. The glory of God. How God can be just and justified. We discover through this door God's sovereign mercy, God's free and undeserved grace, God's eternal, unchangeable love. Through this door, our pitiful gifts and service are acceptable. Entering into God's spiritual house, we offer up spiritual sacrifices, Peter said, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. It's not just men and women who go through the door, but they bring things through the door. If I bring things, what am I going to bring? I'm going to bring my offerings. You reckon God will accept them? He'll accept them through Jesus Christ. I have to bring my offering through the door. Through the door. I have to bring my service through the door. I have to bring those things which I prepare. I have to bring them through the door. Through the door. Everything that constituted the worship of God in the Old Testament came through the door. Came through the door. Through this door is fellowship and communion with God, light for the mind and the heart, and bread for the body, and worship for the soul. And then lastly, this door is an effectual door. There were five pillars upon which this hanging was suspended. And I told you in the last study that we had that those four pillars that suspended the veil, and there was four pillars that suspended the gate that came in through the outside wall, those things were cut off. They didn't have chapters on top. They didn't have capitals. There's probably another word, but it's the finished part of a column. You look up there and you see that big Greek fancy top on there. Those chapters is what he calls them here in Exodus. And those were cast out of pure gold. But in there on that veil and out on that, they didn't have them, and that showed Christ being cut off. But on this door into the privileged service of God, in there to where you can have communion with God, this thing was finished. And it speaks of the finished work of Christ. The finished work of Christ. It's an effectual door. And finished means effectual. Finished means finished. Finished. People say, well, yeah, I know Christ finished his work, but. No, there ain't no but. Finished means finished. It's done. It's done. Justice has been satisfied, righteousness has been established, and the law has been honored and exalted. It's finished. It's finished. And then there was five pillars, poles, whatever you want to call them, columns, that held these up. And you remember I told you the four in there on the veil, somebody said that stood for Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the four Gospels. Those Gospel pillars suspended that veil. Gave us an understanding of what that was. But here at this door, with the finished work of Christ, you have five. Do you know how many writers wrote the New Testament? Five. You know everything that they taught was based on the finished work of Christ. Everything they taught, they pointed back to that finished work of Christ. Just as that door did. All the epistles taught based on the finished work of Christ. And the door hinges on his representative character. This whole thing of the door has to do with Christ, our representative and substitute. If he's not our representative, our federal head and substitute, then the door no longer hinges on him, but it hinges on man's will and man's ways and man's works. Nor could it ever glorify God, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is only as his redemption is particular that it is effectual to the saving of the soul. You can't find a hope in the sacrifice of Christ in any other way except for his elect. Any other way, it leaves you hanging. Leaves a but, leaves a question mark. If his holy obedience was for no one but himself, then it accomplished nothing for me, and it leaves me without any hope before God. If his death did not put away all my sin, if he did not die as my substitute, if it were not my sins he bore in his own body on the tree, then my sins are still charged to my account. And the debt will be demanded of me in that day. This door is made the door by his representative character, and all that he did was for those given to him of the Father. And whosoever was not found, the Scripture said, written in the book of life. They were all judged. There was books open, and all these things. You read about it over in Revelation 20, 21, and 22. All the whole world was judged out of those books, according to their works. That's what they wanted, that's what they got. And then he said this, there was another book open, the Lamb's Book of Life. The Book of Life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, that's what he calls it. And everybody whose name was not written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. You see what I'm talking about? There is no access apart from that particular representative substitutionary character. You take that away, there's nothing left for you. Take away his appointments and offices as a representative and substitute of God's elect, and nothing this book says will make any sense, let alone gain an entry into fellowship with God. But as our representative as our representative. He lived for us. He died for us. He rose for us. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. He quickened us together with him and raised us up with him, made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then he calls us into union with him. How do we get there? Through the door. Through the door. And that's what I'm trying to tell folks. That's what I'm trying to tell them. I point them to Christ and try to tell them he's the door. He's the door. What do you need? You need forgiveness? Here's the door. Here's the door. There wasn't forgiveness anywhere else except in that courtyard through that sacrifice. Wasn't any cleansing anywhere else except through that labor. And there was no access into the glory of God and into communion with God except through the door of that tabernacle.